And welcome back to Beneath the Surface. I'm glad you're all still there. In this segment, I'm very pleased to be speaking with Joshua Kors. His continuing investigation into the treatment of injured veterans is the cover story of the current issue of The Nation. It's called How the VA Abandons Our Vets, and it tells the story of a group of soldiers who were wounded in Iraq, denied medical care and disability pay, and then decided to sue the government. The landmark case forced some top Washington officials to take the stand in federal court and to defend the VA's denial of care to American ill and injured soldiers. Well, Joshua has been with us before right here on Beneath the Surface, talking about earlier parts of this investigation. He's a terrific investigative reporter. He covers military and veterans issues for The Nation's. He's the winner of the National Magazine Award, the George Polk Award, and many other awards. He earned national attention this year for his work uncovering the veterans' benefits scandal, and his two-part series showed how military doctors are purposely misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq and labeling them mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay. And in that, he was able to continue his reporting with ABC News, collaborating with Bob Woodruff on World News Tonight and Nightline pieces covering the scandal. That report on Nightline was part of a series on the struggles of wounded soldiers, and it won the Peabody Award. And that led to Joshua Kors testifying before the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, which convened to investigate his reporting, and the testimony led to the creation of several bills in Congress, including a new law governing military discharges signed by President Bush in January of 2008. So first, congratulations for that, Joshua, and for this series of articles, and let's get into it. Welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Thank you, Susie. Good to be with you.
Very good to have you here, and this is quite it's a great read, but it's a terribly depressing one, just like your other article. So maybe we should start by talking about who is Sergeant Jimenez and what happened to him.
Sergeant Jimenez served in Baghdad. His job was to usher top administration officials through the war-torn streets, a very dangerous job. He came back with two Purple Hearts after a roadside bomb exploded and blew shrapnel into his face. The blow against his head left him with seizures, memory loss, headaches, all kinds of physical problems. And when he came back to the U.S. and went to the VA for medical treatment and disability pay, they told him that the heart of his problem was drinking too much Red Bull. And as that, they denied his claim for disability pay, a situation which, as you can imagine, stunned the sergeant and led him to join this veterans group, Veterans for Common Sense, which went ahead and sued the VA, leading to their case in federal court in San Francisco.
And this is not about personality disorders anymore. We've gone from there to lawsuits. So can you maybe tell the listeners what the response of the military was to this?
To the suit?
Yes. And also just, you know, talk a little bit about what the lawyers did and how they responded in the court.
The VA did everything they could to dismiss this suit. Their argument was that the veterans group had no standing to decide what was going to happen with a $90 billion government organization. Why should they be calling the shots? The veterans group wanted the court to step in the way of Brown versus Board of Education, saying the system is broken and it requires the judiciary to make the key changes.
We have, in your article, you talk a lot about what happened to Dr. Murphy, and maybe you should tell our listeners, because it really gives you some sense.
Murphy's a good example. She was a top VA doctor who was actually being honored in Washington for her work with mental health issues. During that presentation, she stepped forward and acknowledged several serious problems with the VA, a lack of mental health care across the country, a lack of timeliness. She said, in some areas, the waiting list, 650,000 veterans long, was so bulbous that there simply wasn't practical care in many parts of the country. Days later, she was fired and replaced with a man who's gained quite a lot of fame in the last few months, Dr. Ira Katz. Katz gave some pretty strong statements before Congress about just how successful the VA was being with the wounded and suicidal. then went back in the privacy of his computer and wrote emails to fellow officials in the VA talking about a disastrous scandal of suicide. He told his fellow officials that they were receiving 1,000 suicide attempts every month in their VA facilities. And he ended that email by saying, is this something we should carefully address ourselves in some sort of release before someone stumbles upon it? Armin Katayan from CBS News had done some groundbreaking reports about the suicide figures. He found out that in 2005 alone, there were 120 suicides a week, 18 suicides every day. This email, written to the fellow official, is titled, Not for the CBS News Interview Request.
My God. I'm speaking with Joshua Kors. He's written an amazing cover story article in The Current Nation, How the VA Abandons Our Vets. It goes beyond what Joshua had covered earlier about the misdiagnosis of personality disorder to get the VA off the hook in treating vets who had brain injuries. Now we've gotten to the point, you've just told the story about the suicides, which did make national news. But the other side of it that you mentioned in your article and here in both Murphy and Katz is the timeliness issue. Because if somebody is suicidal and needs to be seen immediately, what happens to them when they get into the maze that's been created by the VA, to be seen?
It's a great question, and I don't think most Americans even realize that that maze exists. Americans don't know that when you come back wounded from Iraq, before you can get disability pay, first you have to prove your wounds came from Iraq. If you come back with a leg missing, you have to prove that that was the result of your service. Even in situations as obvious as Sergeant Jimenez, who came back with shrapnel still embedded in his skin.
And didn't they say to him that his accident, it could have been 21 years earlier when he hit his head on a steering wheel in a car accident?
That's right. The VA raider suggested that as one of the possibilities. So you have this maze they have to go through. And it's also worth mentioning that American law bars these soldiers from going through that process with a lawyer.
Now, why is that?
Well, that goes back to the Lincoln administration, if you can believe it.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln was concerned that lawyers would take advantage of wounded Civil War vets, and so he capped lawyers' pay at $10. Veterans nowadays are having quite a hard time getting a lawyer to work for them for a total of $10.
And, of course, it's never been updated since then.
No.
Josh, I've got to tell you, we only have 3 minutes, so let's keep going on this story. I want to hear about both that and how long it takes for, this claim to be filed and what they have to go through to do it.
The VA was claiming the time period was 6 months. I think for many in the audience, that in itself would be a scandal.
Especially if you're suicidal.
They have to wait 6 months for their disability claim. But as the trial revealed, those figures themselves were quite twisted. For example, 6 months to handle the initial processing. If you appeal your claim, as 32,000 vets did last year, there's another period of time, 3.5 years, for them to handle your appeal. And Susie, I was also shocked to learn that it depends what you mean about resolved. Resolved could mean the soldier killed himself.
You mean suicide ends the case neatly for them?
That's correct.
Oh, God.
And if the soldier commits suicide before the 6 month average, he's lowering their average time.
I can't think of anything more cynical. I really am in shock, Joshua. We've entered into something quite bizarre here in terms of a bureaucratic haze and maze, but I just wonder, in the minutes that we have left, if you think that this is conservative contempt for government-sponsored health care, just trying to save a dime. What is this really about?
I think there's a culture within the VA that believes that soldiers are going to scam the system. There are a lot of protections to make sure that soldiers don't file false claims. And in fact, one of the facts that was revealed at the trial was the VA manual urges doctors to be suspicious when they interview soldiers because the wound of PTSD is relatively easy to fake.
This is, you know, when you put this against the constant mantra about support our troops, it's just truly cynical.
You know, if you have that dark sense of humor, the takeaway for me was from Dr. Robert Rosenheck, a director of mental health, and he was asked about this. Why, when the VA recognized all these problems, did they not correct those problems? And he said, it's interesting. Why didn't we take action? It's sort of like asking, why didn't the dog bark in the night?
Oh, God. Well, I'm afraid that we only have 3 seconds left, and I just wondered, finally, would health care reform for everyone resolve a lot of this problem?
I guess that remains to be seen.
Thank you so much for your work, Joshua Kors. I know you're going to continue with it, but Joshua is an investigative reporter for The Nation, and he's won many awards for his work. You can Google him, and you can actually read all of these at joshuakors.com. The article is called How the VA Abandons Our Vets. It's the cover story of The Nation for September 15th. That's really this week's Nation. Thanks so much for being with us on Beneath the Surface, and good luck with all of your work.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. And I'm Susie Wiseman. This is Beneath the Surface. We're going to take a very short musical break, and then we're going to come back with Mark Levine and Culture Jam.